Welcome to the New Grace Sermon Podcast. Our church exists so people experience new life in Christ. We invite you to connect with us on social media at newgrace.cc, on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about our church or to support us financially, visit newgrace.cc.
All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 10. And Jessica, y'all just try to follow along back there. I'm gonna kind of change up the way I'm gonna approach this and navigate the scripture. If you remember last week, and for those of you that were not here, I'm not gonna leave you in the dark, but I want to really encourage you. If you were not here last week, you need to go to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, and other platforms. You can also find it through the church app. Listen to what I preached last week. We talked about the satanic art of spirit seduction and about how what the enemy will do is use a person. The spirit will use a person to lure you and seduce you away from God into a life, a lifestyle, a mindset, even a belief that will turn after false worship, idol gods, and the whole objective is to have you disconnect in loyalty and love from the one true God and end up serving another God. Listen to it if you weren't here last week. All of this was manifested probably, I would say one of the best examples we have is actually in the Old Testament through the life of King Solomon. The Bible says that he loved many strange women. Those strange women became 700 wives, 300 concubines. And here's the real danger of the premise of Solomon's story, is those wives turned his heart away from his God to serve other gods. Insomuch that Solomon built high places, these temples, these groves, these altars, platforms, and most of the high places were geographically located in an actual high place on a hill or a mountainside. And those places where he, his wives, and other people in the kingdom would engage false spirits in worship. And so he fell away in faith from God and began to, a lot of people don't think about Solomon and think about that, but that's a reality we understand in the Bible. And so these high places were basically something that Solomon put in motion. Now watch this, here's what's really scary. Solomon built these high places in the land. He built them to Chemosh, he built them to Molech. We talked about Molech, child sacrifice, where they would offer the baby in the burning hands of the idol statue. And he built these high places, and here's what's really sad. 30 kings came and gone after Solomon and left the high places in place. They literally gave place to a devil in the kingdom. Paul gives us an admonition in Ephesians 4:27. What's it say? Neither give place to the devil. And they literally gave place to a devil. Opened the door wide for demonic spirits to leverage authority and rule through something that a king allowed in his authority. Are you with me so far? Say amen. And so what I wanted to do today, and I want to just slide right into where I'm going with this, and I want to get there quickly because I want to spend a little bit of time on this bottom line of application. A king comes along, and his story is in 2 Kings 18. You can look at it on your own time. His name was Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a king who followed in the spiritual alignment of King David. And the Bible says, and this is really cool, he goes in, he cleans out the temple of God. It has become a living nightmare. He cleans out the temple. He initiates the Passover celebration. They end up, Passover is 7 days. They end up having revival and do it another 7 days. They had a 14-day revival in the land, all under this king's leadership. Isn't it funny, as soon as they got serious about the sanctity of the house and they cleaned it up, that God took his presence and extended it. Here we go. They had to go another night. They got serious about God, and God got serious about them. And at the end of the 14 days, it says under Hezekiah's leadership, this is in 2 Kings 18, and it's in 2 Chronicles, that the people went throughout the kingdom, watch this, and they started tearing down the high places. All that stuff that was used by demons to leverage power in the kingdom, under Hezekiah, the people went out and started tearing down the high places, breaking down these altars, destroying these idols, taking it and removing it from its place. I want to preach quickly on this thought, tearing down high places. Thank you, Jared. So here's what I want to show you. I want to show you that many of us in this room inherited high places that somebody else built. Say amen right there if you believe what I'm preaching. Amen. Many of us inherited the spiritual baggage that somebody else left behind. A lot of us were born into it. A lot of us were raised around it. A lot of us don't even realize, and a lot of things that we think that we inherited from somebody is their nature, maybe certain personality traits. We have a certain gene in the makeup of our DNA and the fiber of who we are as a person that we did get from our parents, that was gotten from the grandparents, from the great-grandparents. That's why a doctor can put you on a table and ask you, what is your family history? Because more than likely, what was happening to them is probably more than likely going to happen to you. It's in the genetic makeup and code of who you are. One thing we need to remember is that our spiritual DNA works the same way. Many of us inherited the spiritual DNA and makeup of the people that brought us into the world. One thing that you cannot control are your parental influences. You cannot control your geography. You can't control where you were born, who you were born to, what decade you were born, what you were raised around. You're out of control as a child. You do not have the ability to navigate things with power. You are weak, and you are susceptible to whatever seed gets planted in your life. Thank God for godly moms and dads that make it a point to put their children around godly thank God for the mom and dads in this room who are serious about the next generation, and you make your kids have a drug problem, because every Sunday their testimony is going to be, I was drugged to church. I didn't have an option. I did not have a say. I did not have a vote. I was drugged to wherever God was showing up. I was drugged to wherever the word was being preached. I was drug on Sundays. I was drug on Tuesday nights. I was drug on Wednesday nights. I was drug back to Sunday night. I didn't have a say. I was just around where God was showing up. And I'm going to tell you something. I want to echo what the preacher just said a while ago. Some of you don't realize that the things that God has used your parents to do, He did not bury things in your life. He planted things in your life. And there's going, oh, I am preaching to somebody. There's going to come a day, young man, young lady, where that thing is going to take root, and it's going to begin to blossom, and it's going to begin to bud, and God is going to bring fruit from the very place where there's a root. If you believe, I believe that for my children. I believe that for your children. I believe that for your grandchildren. Come on, let's just give God some praise. I believe the Lord is working in my home, my house, and my family. And Hezekiah assumes a position of leadership, and when he does, he assumes all the high places, that the previous kings had built or allowed. It's really funny because kings in the chronicles of the kingdom actually had what you and I would consider Google or Yelp ratings. They did. They had a 1, a 2, or a 3-star rating. A 1-star rating is basically a king who did evil in the sight of the Lord. If you see that, he's a 1-star king. He is not a good king. He is not a godly man. If you see a king that did that which was right before the Lord, but did not remove the high places, that's a 2-star king. He's got 1 foot in and 1 foot out. But a 3-star king is a king that did that which was right before the Lord and removed the high places. I want to talk to all the people in the house today who inherited high places in your life, but you decided to have the spirit of Hezekiah and start doing something about the stuff that you've allowed to hang around. I'm preaching to some moms and dads. I'm preaching to some people on the other side of a divorce that was patterned and likened after what happened to your parents, and then it eventually happened to you. And for some of y'all, it's in the process of happening to you. And instead of this thing breaking you down, you're about to start breaking through, because you're going to make up your mind. Services like today and sermons like I'm preaching right now are the checks and the markers. They are the mile markers in your life, the checkpoints where you come to an understanding or realization where your eyes are open up and you're like, I see what the devil's been doing the whole time. I see what the enemy has been up to. I see what he has been working on. I see what has been built in my life. I see what has been inherited in my life. And as far as me and my house, I have made my decision to serve the Lord. I don't want to be a one-star Christian. I don't want to be a two-star Christian. For the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to be a three-star Christian. I want to have both foot in, and I want to be able to say, I did that which was right before the Lord, and I removed the high places, that I tore them down, that I broke the altars, that I burned down the groves, that I didn't leave any remnant or residue, anything remaining from what came into my life. I couldn't control who my mom and daddy were. I couldn't control what I was raised around. I couldn't control what my innocent spirit absorbed. But you better believe, as of this point in my life, I am drawing a line in the sand of my memory. I am standing the ground, and as far as I can help it, I am going to start tearing down high places. My God, somebody better help me preach. I'm going to tear them down. I'm going to tear them down. I want to ask you a question. What high places have you allowed in your life? You know, it's easy when you get preaching like last week and you start talking about people that the devil uses to create spirit seduction in your life. You know, something that a lot of us don't do when we're preaching on that is we don't think, what if I'm the one that the devil's using to seduce somebody? It's so easy to be like, yeah, that's right, that's right. I'm thinking about somebody. What if there's somebody out there thinking about you? What if you're the one that's building the high places? What if some of us right now, in the way we're raising our children, in the way we're living our marriage, what if some of us don't even realize it, but we're teaching our kid that money matters more than anything else? We're teaching our kids that church and serving the Lord and being plugged into what God is doing in our church family is second or third to things that are actually just recreational, social, or extracurricular. Could it be that some of us are the smugglers of a spirit, and that we don't even realize everywhere we go, we are bringing it into every room we're present in? What if something in your life at some point, whether you or somebody else, cracked open a door to a devil that you never closed? Hear me this morning quickly, because we see the Old Testament referencing these physical spiritual places as high places, but Paul has a different definition for these things in the New Testament. He calls them strongholds. A stronghold, which a stronghold was literally a place physically in the Old Testament as well, that was located usually in a high spot, and it was a great place for you to pick off the enemy. It's what a sniper would prefer, what an archer would prefer. It's a stronghold, and many times in a stronghold position, you're able to take leverage and you're able to rule over whatever is below you. What a lot of us don't realize is we've given place to the devil in our life, and we've allowed a high place to be built. Rather, we've allowed a stronghold to be created, and many of us don't realize that the high place in our life is right here around our head. This is your high place.
This is where you've allowed things to be built, where you've allowed things to be established. Yes, you've allowed the devil to pour concrete. Oh, you've allowed him to create framework. You've allowed, you're even letting him finish and furnish the very house in your head that he's built. And a lot of our mindsets, watch this, a lot of our ideas, a lot of the way we think, our value systems, or here we go, our belief. A lot of us don't realize that we are going to live and die in the land of make-believe. Because we have spent our life being made to believe a particular thing about ourselves. Oh, I'm going to help somebody. We've been made to believe a particular thing about the church, or made to believe a particular thing about God, made to believe a particular thing about the world. And we are going to live and we are going to die in the land of make-believe. Maybe you've got a high place, a stronghold that's been created or built in your head. I wrote this down. Let me share this quickly, and then I'm going to land the plane. If you have lived in poverty before, one thing you need to understand about being poor or growing up living without is that it creates a want and a need. It creates this emptiness. It creates this outreached hand in your spirit where you feel like you have to make up for what you went without. And what devils will do is they may entice you with mammon, that is, loving money over your master. They will lure you into, I've seen this before, people that begin to either they got an education, they are fortunate, they went to tech school, or they made their own way in the world without a college degree, and they don't even realize what's happening, but the carrot's been dangled for over a decade for many people, and what they have found themselves in doing, an enemy, a devil, a demon, has lured you into the lifelong chase of doing whatever it takes to make money. Whatever it takes to have nice things. And there's nothing wrong with nice things. There's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with making a great living. Unless the goal of this devil has been accomplished in marrying you to the love of money. And it's become your God. If you've suffered abuse, verbal, mental, physical, sexual abuse, abuse does something deep that only spiritual surgery can cure, because what abuse does is it creates a void and a vacuum in the soul. And here's what a devil will do with that. If that door gets open in your life, a devil is sure, first of all, to try to drive you into alcohol and drugs. He will drive you later into abusive language and behavior. And the whole goal is to always use a stimulant. If we can use alcohol or drugs, we can numb you to your rationale and your senses and your reason. And then we can then accelerate the abuse that happened to you. It'll start happening through you. And all we need is to numb you to your senses so that you become the conduit of pain that you want to then inflict on somebody else in the same way it was inflicted on you. And then we have this internal struggle with pain. We carry it around, and it's like trying to hold a beach ball underwater. You can do it at times, but eventually it's going to come out. And one of the big things that someone struggles with when they've been through abuse is self-acceptance. And many times when self-acceptance begins to be ran down in the ground by a devil or a demon, you find yourself engaging in sexual activity, because what you want to do is simulate the feelings of acceptance. A void left by, and sometimes abuse comes in the form of neglect. See, we always think of what's being inflicted or what we're being afflicted with, what's happening to us is abuse. Sometimes abuse is never getting the thing you were meant to have. And you grew up without it. And so what happens when your body changes and then you begin to live out the natural instinct of love and choosing love? Love is a decision. You choose love. You begin to allow yourself to love somebody. What you've done is you've created something in your head that isn't of God, that if I can have sex with this person, I can then be accepted. And what you're doing is trying to simulate the feelings that never were connected in your childhood as a teenage girl. And so what you're doing is now trying to replace that with simulation. And that is how you create more and more of a vacuum where you went from being the abused to abusing yourself. And what happens when you're abused, especially sexually, it warps your sexual identity. It warps your sexual image. It warps your understanding of sexual intimacy. And it will confuse your sexuality. And some of us don't realize that we've got a high place or a stronghold that we inherited or that happened in our life or that we begin to add to. That's kind of the way the devil does it, is he'll let it come into your life and you don't even realize that you begin to add more and more framework on a foundation that was created when you were 12 years old. And you're 24, you're double the age it happened at, and you're adding to the thing that happened to you. If you've experienced rejection, here's what the enemy will do. He will use the pain that is brought in by rejection, and he will leverage, watch this, he will wait until you get settled with a man, a woman, a family. He'll wait until you're dating, engaged, or married. And what he will do is he will bring back those feelings of rejection, and he will start creating with seeds, thoughts of division, thoughts of reservation, and reluctancy. And you will have a difficult time bonding or trusting good things that God brings into your life. And you end up, because you were rejected, the best way to guard yourself against rejection is to reject before you get rejected. So you start living with this push away mentality. I need to push all these things away, because eventually if I let them in, if I get close, if I begin to try, I'm helping somebody in this room right now, I can feel it. I got to push it away before it pushes me away. If I'm preaching yet, somebody say amen. Amen. If you've carried feelings of loneliness, listen to me. If you've carried feelings of loneliness, and I'll tell you something about loneliness. Loneliness does not play by the rules, because you can be with somebody and be lonely. You can have the things you prayed for and be lonely. You can be a part of a church family and be lonely. Because believing the lie that you are all alone, what a devil will do is solicit your mind into the deception that you are also not loved, that you are forgotten, that your life and your existence are of little to no value. And this will cause you to miss everything that you actually have in your life. And you'll eventually seek to become what you feel, alone. If you've struggled with identity, the evasive question, who am I? Who am I? Remember when you were 18 and you thought you knew the answer to who am I? Come on now, don't be looking at me religious this morning. Some of y'all got married at 18, 19. So it happened to me the first time. I got married at 18, and I woke up at 25, and I was wondering, who am I? The change that happens, listen to me, the change that happens from 18 to 25 is something that nothing or nobody in this life can prepare you for. You listen to me, I believe in evolution. There is so much that evolves about who you are as a person. And so where you anchor yourself at 21, you better be real careful about letting that thing get stabilized, because at 25, you may be a completely different person in and out. I need everybody that's been married for 2 decades to understand that the person you married is not the person you're with, because they have changed and you have too. And the whole point of marriage is to know. Oh my God, what did Peter say? Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Knowledge, I believe the Greek word is gnosko, and it means and speaks of intimacy. Intimacy. Now don't sit there, sir, do not think, oh, I like intimacy. You don't know what I'm talking about when I say intimacy. Knowledge. Knowledge. It goes a lot. Listen to me, sir, a lot of stuff. It happens in the kitchen, not the bedroom. Somebody said, I can dig that too. You still don't get what I'm talking about. If you struggle with identity, I wrote this down. Along the journey to find yourself, devils will lead you to forfeit who you really are. That's what they want to do, man. They want to give you a carbon copy.
Yes, sir.
A carbon copy of something you saw somewhere else. That is why I might not ever get to the landing right here. That's okay, though. That is why social media, it is such a powerful tool, but can be such a powerful weapon. Because what the devil wants to do is he wants to constantly snapshot things that you see visually, stimulate the lack of identity in your mind, and make you think you need to copy what it is you see somebody else doing, because it's working for them. And the only way to get it to work for you is to do what you see them doing or be who that person is. And so you begin to example and emulate those things. And when you are trying to find yourself, here's what a devil will do. It'll lead you to forfeit who you really are, and it will start making you susceptible to ungodly influences. And oftentimes, this is something that I've noticed. When you are on the journey to find yourself, what the devil will do is use the influence of music more than any other influence. If you find yourself being susceptible and drawn to offensive, perverted, or emotionally disturbed music, he is trying to shape who you are. Think about this. This is deep right here, but I want you to think about this. I know people that started listening to certain music in high school. That music shaped their identity. They started dressing like the band members or the singer that they listened to all the time. When you start to do that in high school, that limits and it creates a lane of who your friends are. And then you end up the next decade of your life living out the very lane you created in high school. I know people that aren't really country that have faked their way into a country lifestyle. They're not really country because in eighth grade they had JNCOs on. Some of y'all don't know what JNCOs are. Some of you forgot what they are. What happened? That crowd, he never found the rooted acceptance he wanted in that crowd. So he was willing to change his entire image for the sake of searching for an identity. And when he finally dressed like a crowd that accepted him, he got locked in. You ever thought about that? If you've been subject to occult practices, fortune telling, tarot cards, spiritism, crystals, rocks, dream catchers, astrology, alchemy, magic, Ouija boards. What a devil will do is he'll begin to infiltrate your life through imagination, mystic ideas, and spirit engagement. Let me say this. If you got a Ouija board in your house, you need to get it out now. Don't give it to somebody. Burn that thing. Yes. Don't give it to somebody. Put it on Facebook Marketplace. Make 20 bucks. Here, take my stronghold. Here's something I wrote down quickly about occult practice. If you begin to serve God, you need to expect a visit from the powers of darkness. If you come out of an occult activity or an occult upbringing, if you practicing those things and you begin to serve the one true living God, paranormal activity is probably going to be experienced. Stuff moving in your house is going to be the least of your worry. If you have hidden a suppressed, damaged or distorted sexuality. I wrote this down. After the destruction of your innocence and self-value, here's what a devil will do. He will create a longing for sexual acceptance, usually luring you into sexual promiscuity. And here's a big one. The viewing and reading of pornography is a favorite that the devil uses. And here's why. There is no rejection in that. There is no sexual disappointment or sexual frustration. You are able to live out the twisted distortions of your flesh and its longing without experiencing rejection. That is a favorite. That is why he favors that so much. And we are in a day and age now, this is no stranger to any of you, it is one of his greatest hits, is pornography. And the idea that it's trapping single people is a fallacy. It's trapping everybody. And it's everywhere you look. How many of y'all have been on Netflix or somewhere lately and you're trying to find a movie to watch and you can't hardly find anything? And listen to me, I get frustrated. If I feel like I've got to sit there and watch a movie with the controller in my hand,
yeah.
No. And you know what? We got a devil in our TV anyway, because that thing will glitch. You go to push pause, it waits 5 seconds. You go to fast forward, it just pauses. I'm like, what the? Lord Jesus! Ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Here's what a devil will do. He will utilize and he will leverage sexual deviancy. He will plant, and listen to me, he will plant warped, distorted, lustful desires that contradict God's intention and plan for sex and marriage. Now, all of this, I said all of these things to give you an idea of how the door gets opened. And here's where we're missing this in the church, okay? Everything I just talked about is the fruit of a root. And so what we've done for the last couple decades in church is we've been preaching about cutting the fruit. Well, here's the deal. You can cut the fruit, but if you don't cut the root, you're going to end up getting the fruit over and over and over. So we can sit here and I can get on a soapbox and we can go through the list of all these things and we can preach on them and we can talk about them, or we can actually go to the root of this tree and we can cut it. Here's another way of looking at it. Deal with the door that it came in. Deal with the place where it was established. And many times that is us going back in time and confronting and facing something, the very place of where it came in. I ain't got time to work this like I really want to. I've been trying to casserole this thought since I got up here. But I want you to look at this one verse. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 10. It's actually three verses. 2 Corinthians 10. Look, Paul. Here's Paul's game plan for tearing down high places, hence strongholds. He says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Amen. Keep going. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, you cannot fight a spirit enemy with a flesh weapon.
That's right.
Okay?
Amen.
Your AR-15 ain't going to do any good. It's not going to do any good. Brazilian jiu-jitsu is not going to do any good. Rear naked choke ain't going to do any good. Right? Brass knuckles, no good. No good. Ground and pound, no good. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. On the other hand, they are mighty through God to the destruction, the demolishing, the pulling down of strongholds. Watch this. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. I want you to write these three things down, then I'm going to close, and then we're going to celebrate new life in Christ by baptizing people. Number one, check it. Write down the word check it. All of this that we're supposed to wage war against, all this that we're supposed to attack, all this that we're supposed to come against, it all has to be checked against the knowledge of God. I need you right now to think about the high places that you've allowed to be built in your life. Think about the mindsets that you've adopted. Think about the value system that you hold. Think about the perspective, the viewpoints you have. Think about the way you think about things. Think about the way you process marriage. Think about the way you assess upbringing of children. Think about the way you consider worship, what it should be, what it shouldn't be, why you think coming to the altar is weird, why you think applause and praise is out of pocket. Assess right now why you have a hard time meshing and bonding with the person you're married with. Could it be that you are still bound in spirit to the person that you've been divorced from for now 20 years? Could it be that you got to go back in time and evaluate the very hinges, the threshold, the knob, the lock, and the door that you let open that has never been destroyed or never been shut? Could it be some of the fruit you're living with runs to a root that happened when you were 9 years old? Check it. Right now, take these things these strongholds, these ideas, the idea of the word imagination in the Greek means reckoning. Reckoning, the way I compute or account something in my mind. How do you think about stuff? There's a reason you think about it like that. How do you see things? There's a reason you see it that way. Well, that's just the way I see it. It doesn't matter if that's the way you see it, if that's not the way God said it. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe not everything you picked up was put there by God. He says we're supposed to check it against the knowledge of God. One of the first steps in understanding how you deal with the things that have been rooted in your life is check it against what thus saith the Lord. Because if God didn't say it, then you've got an unsettled case about the things that you've allowed to be established in your mind and in your life. If you believe that this morning, let's give him praise. You got to check it. Number two, you got to cast it. Everybody say cast it. Cast it. He said cast down imaginations. I like the Greek definition of casting because it literally, the idea of casting down an imagination, a thought, a mindset, a reckoning, or a computation, to cast it down. Casting down means to demolish with violence. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It almost has the connotation that you gotta get mad at it. You got to get mad at it. See, some of y'all have spent too much time being mad at the wrong thing. You need to get mad at the idea that a devil has been toying with you. My God, I want to conjure up a fighting spirit in these people right here. I do. I want to get y'all fighting mad. That grit teeth, roll up your sleeves like you want to throw down with somebody. Y'all know what it means to square up? Huh? Do y'all know what it means to square up? Or am I talking to a bunch of wussified religious wimps? I don't think I am. I know where I'm at. I know what part of North Georgia I'm in. I know what kind of background, what kind of reputation, what kind of record some of us in this room have. And I think we need to get the boldness of the Holy Ghost in our spirit this morning. And we need to say, you know what? I am sick and tired of these high places being leveraged by devils that disrupted my family tree. They might have got away with it with my grandparents. They might have got away with it with my mom and daddy. But the buck stops here. It can run as long as it wants to, but the day it ran into me, I've got my sledgehammer, I got my wrecking ball, I got the demolishing power of God's word.
Yes, sir.
I'm ready to cast this stuff down. I'm ready to take it down. You gotta take the word to it. You gotta take the promises of Amen. God to it. You gotta see that little house up in your head. And it's got that one, that little two-story window with that little devil living up in there. And you got to see yourself in a crane with a wrecking ball.
Come on.
I don't even know how to work it, but. How do you do it, JJ? How do you do that? That's how you got to see that. You got to see that stronghold, that high place that's been up there as a habitation for a devil. And he's kept the door open and he's brought his friends in and he's brought all the neighbors in. And you went from one issue to three issues to 20 issues in a matter of 10 years. And you got to see yourself as finally recognizing what he's been doing and what you've been up against. And you've got to take the authority of God's word and like a wrecking ball, start demolishing every single piece of that house. Watch that joker jump out the window as you begin to clear out and make room for the Holy Ghost. It's not enough just to knock it down. You got to give God Amen. The place in your mind. What's this? Come on, let's close, JJ. You got to cast it. You got to check it. You got to cast it. Then you got to capture it. Now this is what you do as a preventative ongoing. And I've really only scraped the surface of this like I need to. I've just scraped the surface. But you check it. Is this of God? Is this way of thinking, this way of living, this way of feeling, is this of God? How does this stack up to the knowledge of God? What I know about God, what I know of his word. How does this look? Cast it. Take it down. Enough's enough. Get in the word. Get the word in you. Take the word to it. Take the word to it. Take the word to it. Demolish it. Tear it down. Okay? I wish I had time to give you a scripture for every one of these high places and strongholds that I've mentioned. But then you got to capture it. Because here's what's going to happen. You tear that thing down, and that devil's going to come back. He's going to come back with a similar or the same agenda. He's going to come back. And what Paul says is you have to then bring into captivity every, put it back up there, thought. Everybody say the word thought. You know how most of the stuff started in your life? A thought. Most of the stuff started with a thought. And here's what happens. You'll knock that stuff down. You'll start living in freedom and liberty. You'll start growing. You'll start finding joy and peace and hope. And guess what? That old joker's going to come back over here and figure out, how do I get back in? How do I get him to build another high place? How do I get him to be open to another stronghold? A thought. You ever forgiven somebody but had a hard time forgetting it? I think everybody that's had to forgive somebody could testify what it's like to forgive, to refuse to be bound to bitterness and hate, and you gave yourself the gift of forgiveness. You recognize forgiveness ain't about them, it's about you, and you gave yourself the gift of forgiveness, and you let it go, and you forgave it, but you have a hard time forgetting it. And if you're not careful, when you're susceptible, here's gonna come a thought. Is this seed going to take root? Because if it does, in 3 years, we're going to have the same fruit that you had years ago. Bringing every thought captive. Here's how I see it in my mind. I see it, and I literally say this to the Lord and play this out. I will pull over on the side of the road. I will stop what I'm doing and have this conversation, because there are strongholds and high places that I have torn down. Roots I have cut up, doors I've ripped off the hinges, but I will have a devil slide up and put a thought. I ain't heard from him in a minute. It could be a week, it could be a month, it could be a couple years, and he'll slide up and put a thought. And what I've learned to do is practice that verse where it says, bringing into captivity every thought. I just imagine myself grabbing that thought. Oh yeah, see, I'm still mad at it. It's got. I'm talking about that Looney Tunes anointing where I grab it and its eyes go cross when I grab it, and I take it. It says, bringing every thought, taking it captive and bringing it under the obedience of Christ. I take it and I submit it before Jesus and say, he's trying again. He's back again. This is me being accountable to you, my King, and to my deliverer. That this is the same joker that was messing with my mama and my daddy. This is the same joker that went after my brothers. This is the same joker that had me all those years. This is the same joker that sent me into that deep, dark depression. This is the same spirit that sent me into rage. The same spirit that sent me into abuse. The same spirit that sent me into sexual depravity and deprivation. This is the same one. And I'm bringing it captive. You got to imagine yourself in your mind arresting it, cuffing it, capturing it, and bringing it to Jesus and saying, do what you want with him. Imagine if you checked that stronghold. Imagine if you took the wrecking ball of God's word and cast it. And imagine if from here on out, you started taking your thoughts and you started capturing them and submitting them in obedience to Christ. That, ladies and gentlemen, is how you tear down a high place. Somebody give him praise in the house.
Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcatcher. New episodes are posted each week on Tuesday.